Hello, everybody. It's really lovely to be here. And that was a really nice introduction. Thank you, Ian. So I'm really sorry about that. What can I say? It's really lovely to be here. Thank you very much for having me. Some of you I know, and some of you I don't know so well. And I just really want to be a blessing to you this morning, in however I can be, because I think you are a fantastic bunch of people here in Slough. And I love what you're doing, and I just want to be a blessing to you. So I'm bringing you something this morning that won't be brand new to you, because I know this is very much on Ian and Sabina's heart for you as a people. I've heard it in everything that's gone on this morning. But where's my technical man? Thank you very much. I've got a screen on the front row as well. This is like, I don't get this in Maidenhead. It's very exciting. So I want to talk to you about something that Holy Spirit has been talking to me about in the last couple of months, and that has really impacted me and really changed the way that I do life and the way I look at life. And basically, it's about how am I going to choose to look at my life and the circumstances around me, and what am I going to believe, and what am I going to speak out? And what I'm expecting this morning is that some fresh hope is going to rise in you. I'm looking for God to bring fresh hope to you, to your lives, to situations you're facing. I'm looking for Holy Spirit to bring you some transformed ways of thinking, because that's what he wants to do with us this morning. He wants to take us and he wants to change us into even better versions of who we are. Now, we've got different cultures represented here, and I know that different cultures have different ways of looking at things, looking at life. So I'm English, and we tend to be a bit of a cynical bunch. Any English people here like to admit to that? Yeah, we do tend to be a little bit. We can be a bit cynical, we can be a little bit negative, a little bit glass half empty. It's quite easy for us to look at a set of circumstances and automatically assume the worst before, if we even knew any cricket was happening. Yeah, that's right. But different cultures are very different, have different approaches. So I think Americans are generally quite positive, aren't they? I mean, they're generally quite, yeah, thank you very much. I see one over there. They're like kind of glass half full. Yeah, come on, we're going to go for this. I don't know about New Zealand. What are you like in New Zealand? A bit of both. Hedging your bets. But I actually think in the UK, whatever culture we're from originally, we live in quite a cynical culture. I think it's generally quite cynical today. I have a teenage daughter who is absolutely beautiful, wonderful, fantastic. I love her to bits. But that culture is so cynical, so judgmental, so quick to assume the worst. And, you know, as we go on through life, we have stress, we have worry. You know, we can tell ourselves not to worry, but it doesn't last all that long, does it? Because we have these constant thought patterns. And I been saying to the Lord, how can I really transform my heart? How can I really transform my heart so that I see things differently? And Holy Spirit's just been talking to me that it's about how I actually view my circumstances and events in front of me, and whether I'm going to let my past experiences affect today and tomorrow, and what am I going to say? What is going to come out of my mouth? And I just believe that as the people of God, we are called to be people who bring life to our friends, to our families, to our communities. We're called to be people of good news. And do you know what? We have so many reasons not to be negative. And I think that we truly can be the most content, the most peaceful, the most joyful, the most hopeful and powerful people that there are anywhere. And that's what attracts people to Jesus, Jesus in us. And, you know, my heart is just for us in River Church, in Maidenhead, in Slough, in Marlow, in the journey, to be people of real faith, you know, real people who look at challenges, look at the difficulties, and just see them as opportunities for God to work. And that actually we'll be people who see impossible things come to happen every day, because that's who God is in us. And that's not just for Ian and Sabina and me and whoever is the leaders, but that's for every single one of us. God wants us to live like that. So this morning, I want to give you an invitation to look at things with a higher perspective. I think God wants us to begin to call out his purposes for ourselves and for our communities, because that's what we're here for, isn't it? We're here to reach our community for Jesus, to see people's lives transform. We're not a happy club that just like being here. Well, we are, but I'm always saying in Maidenhead, we want to be a church that's left the building. Yeah, that we've filled up, we know who Jesus is in us, and we've left the building and we're out there changing our communities. And I just want to say to you this morning that as I was praying for you, God sees you, every one of you, as people of extraordinary faith. And that he sees you as people of impossibilities. And that's because he's put it within you. He lives in you. And he's a God of the impossible. And he's put that in every one of you. And he wants to partner with you to let that impossibility out in the world. So one of my most favourite scriptures is one from Psalm that talks about, "Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you doors, that the King of glory may come in." And I always just see myself in my mind's eye as a doorway, as a gateway. And the King of glory, Jesus, wants to come in through me in this world. And that's what he wants to do through every one of us. It doesn't matter whether we're a leader or we're not. That's what he wants to do. I saw a quote from Bill Johnson recently that I absolutely loved. He said, "I don't have a vision to build a big church. I have a vision to build big people." I like that. Big people, people of faith, people who know who God is in them and let that out in the world around them. So if we go back to what are we going to believe? What are we going to think? Are we going to be cynical? Are we going to be negative? Where does that come from? Now, don't sleep on me. You said you were going to be alert, Corey. Okay, so the Bible tells us, do I have to do this? Out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So what's in our heart comes out through our mouths. Another translation, the voice, says this: "For the mouth simply shapes the heart's impulses into words." Now, that was really interesting. So what's in our heart is what comes out of our mouth. And we know, don't we, that what we speak out is really important. Sociologists tell us if you tell a child it's rubbish all the time, it'll grow up believing it's rubbish, yeah? But the Bible tells us death and life are in the power of our tongue. So what we say as Christians with the Spirit of God in us is really important. And the Message puts this in a great way. "There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation." Which is really interesting. So our words are so important. So what we're speaking out of our heart is what are our beliefs. What do we honestly believe? What do we believe about ourselves? About God? About other people, about our circumstances. Do you believe what God says about you, or do you believe what the enemy whispers to you? That's quite a big one for us, isn't it? Are our Christian beliefs, the biblical truths, are they really real to us? Really real to us? And how do we get them real if they're not? I'm loving this. Corey and I, we've got this look now. Proverbs 23:7 says this: "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." So thinks in our heart is what our beliefs are. And that bit, "so is he," we become what we believe. So if we believe that God, if we actually believe in our heart of hearts God isn't for us, then we'll live fearful lives. So we can say it with our heads, but if we actually don't believe it, what's coming out of our heart, we will live fearful lives. Here is a great thought for you. Do your beliefs limit all that I can become? So God's stuff for you is limitless. But what I believe limiting that in my life? I like to think about Doctor Who. I like Doctor Who. I even like the new Doctor Who. I hate them every time they regenerate, but then I get used to them and decide I quite like them. So I'm all right with the current Doctor Who. But that TARDIS thing, every time somebody goes in it, they go, "Ooh, it's bigger on the inside," don't they? And that's what I think God wants to do in us. He wants us to be bigger on the inside than we are on the outside. He wants us to be people of enormous belief and depth and faith on the inside that just comes out. And I think what God's challenging us to in this time is to go on a journey with him to develop a new set of belief systems that can actually contain everything that he wants to give us. That's a great thought, isn't it? What you are and what you believe now isn't where God wants you to stay. He wants you to develop more so that you can be bigger on the inside, so that you've got more of heaven to let out to the people around you and to transform your circumstances. So, as you look around you now, as you look at your life and the circumstances around you, here's a thought. This is a statement from a guy in Bethel. If every situation in my life isn't glistening with hope, then I'm believing a lie. Now, that might be familiar to you already. And I just remind you of it. If it is, it's really interesting, isn't it? It should be up there, yes. Are you listening? If every situation in our life isn't glistening with hope, then we're believing a lie somewhere. Now, that's quite an interesting thought. Why is that? Because God is the God of all hope. So it isn't possible for you to have a situation in your life that isn't full of hope, because God is the God of all hope. He's never hopeless about any situation in your life. He really isn't sitting there going, "Oh my goodness me, that one caught me by surprise. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. We're really snookered now." And I think that, you know, if you actually think about what you believe, that is really what we can believe. It's just not true. He's for us. He's not against us. His every desire is to bless us. He's the God of the impossible. So every situation in our life can be glistening with hope. Hope in our God. The until moment. I love it. I absolutely love that whole thought. I'm in my until time till my healing comes or my whatever. Every situation can be glistening with hope. Now, what I want to do is I want to look at some verses from Numbers 13 with you. This is a very familiar story, and oh dear, I am going to have to put my glasses on because I can't read it. It's too little. This is the story of the 12 spies, okay? So this is probably going to be quite a familiar story to you. This is where God was leading his people out of Egypt and into the promised land. And God wanted to get them straight there, actually. He wanted them to come out of Israel, out of Egypt, where they were all oppressed. He wanted them to go on this journey and get to the promised land. He didn't actually want them to struggle and suffer for 40 years. But they did. And why did they? And this is where what we believe about circumstances is really important. And hopefully this will illustrate it for you. So I'm going to read some bits of Numbers 13. I'm going to jump around and I'm going to miss out the words I can't pronounce. So just go with me. So we're Numbers 13 and I'm going to start at verse 1 and skip some bits out down to 33. So then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Send out for yourself men so that they can spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, everyone a leader among them." It's quite interesting they sent leaders. So Moses sent them from the wilderness at the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the son of Israel. I'm going to jump down to verse 17. When Moses sent them to spy out the land, he said to them, "Go up there into the hill country, see what the land is like and whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many. How is the land in which they live? Is it good or bad? And how are the cities in which they live? Are they like open camps or with fortifications? And how is the land? Is it fat or lean? Are there trees in it or not? Make an effort to get some of the fruit of the land." So they went up, spied out the land, and down to 23, they came to a valley, and from there they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes and carried it on a pole between two men. with some of the pomegranates and figs. So that's what they did, and they come back to Moses. I'm going to jump to verse 27. And they're standing in front of Moses, and they're giving a report. They told him, and they said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this thing here is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Thingy and Thingy and Thingy are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan." But then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We aren't able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people who we saw in it are men of great size. We became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." And the interesting thing to note is that both reports were accurate. We had 10 people saying, "This is a great land, but the people are huge and it's scary and it's terrible." And they had the two, Joshua and Caleb, saying, "Yes, the land is like this and like this, but God is with us." And what was different about those two sets of people was not the circumstances in front of them. The circumstances were exactly the same. It was what their response to those circumstances was. And look what the people of Israel inherited out of the choices they made about what they were going to believe. What they got was 40 years wandering in the wilderness, because they weren't brave enough to look at the circumstances with a higher perspective of what God said and go, "We're going to declare out what God says and go for it." So their conclusions affected not just their own lives, so it wasn't just those 12 men, but it actually affected the whole of the nation. Because the whole of the nation didn't get to go straight into the promised land, which God wanted. So just what we were talking about before, their conclusions affected their personal destiny, if you want. But it also affected their people's destiny. Those men were leaders. Do you remember I said that? Showed you that from the scripture. And they never got to enjoy the promised land, apart from Joshua and Caleb. And you know, you and I, we're all leaders in the kingdom of God. We're leaders bringing Jesus to people around us. Don't we want to be people who see circumstances with the eyes of faith and really possess what God wants and lead the people coming with us who are seeing us as leaders in the kingdom of God, bring them into the fullness of what God has for them? Because that's what God calls us to be in our communities. Leaders who are going, "Look, I know Jesus. Come with me." So I think from this Bible story that what we see is that our conclusions about our circumstances are way more important than the circumstances themselves. You know, whatever's going on is what we conclude about it. That's the important thing, not actually what the thing is. And our challenge is to see things in a different way, with a higher perspective. Trust in what God says, the truth, in order to access bigger things, greater things. Let that TARDIS thing out. And to get that land of milk and honey, the promised land, instead of wandering around in the wilderness. And I want the promised land for myself. I want it for my church. I want it for my family. I want it for my friends. I want it for my community of Maidenhead. And I know you do for Slough. So it starts with us. How am I going to see the circumstances? How am I going to see the job? You know, how am I going to see that? I'm going to declare what God says about me as I go into that job interview. Yeah, I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter of God. God lives in me. Yeah, not, "Oh, I don't know if I can do this." So, how do we do that? I've just talked a little bit about it. We need to change the perspective. Ooh, yes. Sometimes we just need to change our perspective. I've no idea how you actually do that, but there you go. It's quite nice. A man on a cloud. And I think what we need is our beliefs to line up with what God says. Not what our past tells us, not what the enemy whispers to us, what God says about us. So I'm going to give you an example of how to do that. So we're going to look at another passage of scripture, and we're going to look at, if I was the person in this story, what are the lower things that I could think? But actually, if I choose to change my perspective, what are the higher things that I could think about those circumstances? Okay? So here's a story. This is about the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. I'm really sorry, gentlemen. Shall we just pretend she was ill for 12 years? Okay, so let's just read this. And suddenly, a woman who'd been ill for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. This is Jesus' garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I will be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. So if you're that woman and you've been ill for 12 years without success with the doctors, God, your faith, whatever, what could you think? If those are your circumstances, what's the lower way that you could look at them? So you could think things like, this has gone on for 12 years, it's never going to change, couldn't you? You could think, this is who I am now. This is just part of me. This is me. You take me and my illness, that's who I am. You could think, well, if Jesus wants to heal me, he'll come to me. That would be an interesting one, wouldn't it? You could think, well, actually, I'm predestined by God to have this life. This is his plan. This is what I get. You could think, there's nothing I can do to change my circumstances. This is it. I better make the best of it. Come on, jolly hockey sticks. You could think, if God wanted me to have breakthrough, then there wouldn't be obstacles in my way. So there was a crowd, wasn't there, between her and Jesus. So you could have sat there thinking, yeah, well, if God wants to meet me, all this wouldn't be in the way, so it's not my time. It's not right. It's not right for me. She could think, well, I've been here before. Over the 12 years, it's not a good idea to get my hope up. So I better hadn't. I'll just stay. Well, this is it. And another interesting one is, actually, if she wanted Jesus to heal her, she should have asked him if he wanted to first. Not just rushed up there and grabbed him, because that was not good, was it? Really, you shouldn't do that to the Son of God. Those are so natural to think those things, aren't they? So you think about circumstances in your life. Isn't it easy to think those things without actually even realizing that you do? What do I actually think? That's why that little phrase, if every thing in my life isn't glistening with hope, then I'm believing a lie. Those are all lies. All those things are all lies. Natural to think them, but they're lies. What are the higher perspectives on that situation? Okay, so what are the truths that we know from Scripture? Okay, so we know that there's always a solution for every situation. Okay, this verse tells us, whenever temptation has overtaken us, God is faithful. He won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. But with the temptation, we'll also make the way of escape. That's what Scripture tells us. No matter what we're in, God will give us an escape. There is always a solution to every situation. Another way of looking at that situation would be that if you're really hungry for God and you're persistent and you're determined, that brings great rewards. And why do we know that? Because Hebrews tells us he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He rewarded that woman because she diligently sought him. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. We know those are truths, but we forget them in the situations that we're in. The third thing is, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. And saved means saved, healed, and delivered. Whoever. We are not destined to live in hardship and in mediocrity. Whoever calls on that. So that woman could be thinking, I'm just a woman. I've been ill for 12 years. I'm not like all these other people. Well, this is my lot. No! Whoever calls on the name of the Lord. So what we believe is going to be the deciding factor, I reckon, of where our life's going to go. It's the truth that we believe that sets us free. So we can all be spiritual in a church meeting when Sabina's up the front encouraging us fantastically. It's easy to ride on that, but it's when we go home. So what are we going to believe when we get home about what we're facing with our family members, with our work? Are we going to believe those lies, or are we going to believe what God says? And what we do is, those beliefs, those things we're thinking that we've just been exploring in that story, we then give voice to them. We then speak them out. So we get shaped by them and they get reinforced. And actually what we're doing is, this is a bit dramatic, but we are actually agreeing with the lies of the enemy in our life. And we don't see it like that either, do we? We just think, oh, well, I'm not just quite there where Sabina and Ian are. Or, you know what, well, this is just me. Actually, what we're doing is we're agreeing with the whispers of the enemy that's telling, trying to keep us small. And we need to reverse that and speak the opposite. And remember that God's perspective on our circumstances is always higher than ours, and it's always filled with hope. Back to where we were. If everything in our life isn't glistening with hope, then we're believing a lie. So I like this slide. In Joel it says, let the weak say, I am strong. So it's not denying the truth of what we're in, but it is saying what God says about us. So in your circumstances, you can feel weak, but you can say, let the weak say, I am strong, because my God lives in me. And we can get a bit worried about that because we can feel a bit like it's denying the truth of what's going on. You know, I'm really desperately ill and I'm saying, I'm healed. It's a bit weird, isn't it? And a lot of us have been through those times in Christian history where people have named it and claimed it and declared out stuff and it's all got a bit unreal. And I don't think God wants us to be unreal. I think he wants us to be honest, but I think he wants us to look at things with eyes of faith and be honest about where we are, but with eyes of faith, see what he can do. So I love this. If we've got an apple tree out there now, does it have any apples on it now in February? Is it still an apple tree? Okay. So if we've got a baby apple tree out there that hasn't yet got to maturity to be able to bear apples later in the year, is it still an apple tree? So let the weak say, I am strong. Yeah, declare the truth of what the fruit is in you, even though it's not on you at the moment. Does that make sense? So let the weak say, I am strong. And it's a journey that we're on in that. Yeah, because we have to reinforce those bad patterns that we've gotten into. So I go out and do healing on the street scene, was very kind about that. And sometimes we see people healed and sometimes we don't. And I could get really despondent, but I'm sort of determined not to. So whenever I pray for somebody, what goes through my head now is every time I lay hands on somebody, they're going to be touched by God. Yeah? And I was coming here today thinking, oh, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what this is going to be like. Have I got the right thing? What is this, what people are needing to hear? I really don't know. And I just felt like God say, practice what you're preaching. So I drove here going, I declare that God is going to move this morning. I declare that God is going to encounter people. I declare truth is going to come to people. That's what I declare this morning. That's not what I'm feeling, but that's the fruit I'm looking for in that tree. Does that make sense? Okay, so if we go back to that woman who touched the hem of Jesus, what good things could we get out of that story for ourselves that we could declare over ourselves? Yeah? So out of that story, we could have some declarations like, there is always a solution. Wherever I am, my heart starts to sink about something. No, there is always a solution. We could have, like, she was so determined to get to Jesus and grab the hem of his garment. I like this one. This is one of mine. I live a life of great spiritual hunger and determination. I declare that over myself regularly. I live a life of great spiritual hunger and determination. Might not feel like it, but that's what I'm declaring, because that's the fruit of what's in me I want to see come out. And when you say those things, your heart hears them, your spirit man hears them, and they begin to take root. And I honestly promise you it's true, because I have quite a negative tendency, a negative thought pattern. And actually, I know my beliefs have changed as I've consistently and persistently spoken good things out. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And another verse that I love from Romans, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what the good and acceptable will of God is. You prove it, it happens in your life as your thinking is renewed. And our current beliefs, I reckon, create our future experience. Because I think we open a door, a gate for heaven to come in. So what I'm going to believe today about my circumstances is going to change what's going to happen in the future. I live a life of great spiritual hunger and determination. That is going to change what happens in my future, and I'm changing my beliefs about it. So, I think God just wants to invite you to begin to change the way you think about things. I think he wants to invite you to move to some higher perspectives of the way you see things, and to speak out what he says about things, not what your past circumstances might say. Well, I wasn't healed last time, so I'm not going to heal this time. Or, well, that didn't work last time, so it won't work this time. We believe them, but speak out what God says. I like this last one. Oh, yeah. That in that story, the promised land, the land we pass through to spy out, is an exceedingly good land. God has an exceedingly good land for you. In your personal lives, in your family, as a symbol of what's going on in Slough, he has an exceedingly good land for you to walk into, like he had for the Israelites. What are we going to believe? Let our beliefs open the doorway for us to walk into the good and great things that God has for us. I don't know about you, but I really want to stay the course with God through my life. I really want to stay faithful to him. I really want to grow. I really want to be a TARDIS. And I've got this great verse that I just want to share with you. Which is just a really personal one from the Passion Translation in Psalm 92. It says this: even in their old age, they will stay fresh. And this became quite relevant to me because I was 50 recently. So I was reading this thinking, oh, yes. Even in their old age, they will stay fresh, bearing luscious fruit and abiding faithful. Listen to them. With pleasure, they will still proclaim, you are so good. You're my beautiful strength. You have never made a mistake with me. I love that. I want to shout that about God at the end of my life. Oh, my goodness me. So I'm going to finish there. What I want to do is I want to give you a couple of things to think about that you could follow up for yourselves. I'm avoiding saying the word homework, but that's what it is. And then I'd like us to do a prophetic act together. Are you up for that? Okay. Well, we're doing it anyway, so. Okay, all right. So here's a few things just for you to think about to follow this up. So it's Lent, isn't it? So in Lent, you know, you kind of fast things and give things up. Why don't you go on a fast of being negative? Why don't you go on a fast of speaking negative things out of your mouth? And every time you want to speak a negative thing or think a negative thing, think a positive one. And even better, think something positive that what God would say. So there's a challenge, 40 days up to Easter. Not quite 40, it's a bit less now. Go for it. Negativity fast. Oh, yeah, instead, a positivity feast. How's that? So not a negativity fast, a positivity feast. Let's do that. Why don't you write some good declarations for yourself? in areas where you're not glistening with hope. So if you've got an area of your life that you know God's put his finger on and you know that actually you're not glistening with hope about that, why don't you write yourself a declaration? Just like mine, I am increasing in spiritual hunger and determination. Write yourself one and say it over yourself, okay? Oh, that's the third thing, speak them out. Speak those good declarations over yourself. And a fourth thing that you could just, no, I'm not on that one yet. Look, you've trotted on too fast. A fourth thing you could do is read a book by Steve Backlund called Higher Perspectives. Ian and Sabina will be able to let you have the details if you're interested. And this is exactly what he talks about. And it's a little book that you could do actually as a daily devotional thing, because it's got like 50 little bits in, Bible verses, little passages of scripture, just like we did with the woman who needed healing for 12 years. This is what she could have thought. This is what she did think, and this is what she could have thought. Yeah, and it's amazing how it transforms your thinking. Amazing. Okay, so now I want us to do a prophetic act. Now, I think I've got enough of these. I was really annoyed because I ordered some 3D glasses for this morning. I ordered them twice and they didn't come. Ian and Sabina. Now, you might not want one of these, and that's fine, but I want to give you a pair of 3D glasses so that you remember what we've talked about today. If there aren't quite enough, families might have to share one glass per family. But hopefully, I'm thinking I've got enough. Now, why have I given you these? Lovely, Florence. I've given you these because if you see a film in 2D, it's a film and it's all very good. If you go and see it in 3D, it's like, oh my goodness me, it's completely different, isn't it? What God wants you to do is to look at your circumstances in a completely different way. He wants you to move from 2D Christians, who are lovely. We love being 2D Christians. He wants to move you on a journey to being 3D Christians that see things with higher perspectives in a different way. Does that make sense to you? That's a slightly balmy idea. So if you take those away, they will remind you every day, stick them up somewhere, I'm going to see things in a different way. So we're going to do a prophetic act with them. Are you ready? So in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God often asked his people to do prophetic acts. And it's not just been a bit balmy and having a bit of fun. Actually, those acts frequently brought a really dramatic shift in circumstances in the spiritual realm that just looked a bit balmy on the earth, but actually things shifted. And I just think that God would really like, well, I don't think God would like us to, that's a bit presumptuous. I think it would be a really good idea for us to do something to cement what we've been learning. So you've got your glasses. Okay, so yes, you need to hold the glasses up. And what we're going to do is, you are sitting down at the moment, so that's your lower perspective. This is the way that you might have been seeing things in your lives up to now. And what we're going to do is we're going to stand up and we're going to move ourselves up to a higher perspective. Now, when I did this before in the journey, I got people to stand on their chairs. I don't think I'll do that this morning. Just stand up. That's you saying, I am going to see things instead of in a lower perspective. I am going to see things in a higher perspective with God. And I've got two declarations for you to read out, say out all together. So can I have my declarations up, please, Corey, with the glasses? Here they are. We're going to say together, when we get up to our higher perspective, I am constantly increasing in faith. Should we practice that? I am constantly increasing in faith. And the second one, I always see things from God's perspective. So we're going to do this act where we're going to say, okay, at the moment we're sitting on our lower perspectives. We're going to stand up and we're going to say these declarations. So are you ready? You look lovely, if I can just say in your glasses. So, lower perspectives, this is our prophetic act. Lord, we are going to stand. We are going to stand and take higher perspectives on things from now on. And we're going to declare, I am constantly increasing in faith. I always see things from God's perspective. Amen. Aren't you good? Well done, everybody. You can sit down again. That's all I wanted to bring. That's all I have to say. It would be really good to be able to pray for people. So, how do you want to do this? If you know that you are a real negative speaker or negative thinker, and you want that to change, it'd be great to pray for you. It really would. If you know that you've got some particular situations where you're not glistening with hope and you need to speak out the truth, it would be great to pray with you about that as well.